You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Division Day here at the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Ryan Finkelstein, host of Locked On Mets. I'm joined today by Dylan Short, host of Locked On Braves, to talk about what we believe are the two teams that might be going head-to-head to win this division. First of all, thanks for joining me. Excited to talk about these two teams.
Absolutely. And to my Locked On Braves listeners, never fear, just because I am partnering with a Mets fan, that doesn't mean that I've given up my Braves love. You guys know that I'm all with you, and I like to make fun of the Mets, but you know what? I think we're going to partner up in hating on somebody else this year, because if I'm going to be quite honest, there's a lot of Mets players that I really just love. So these crossover events are a nice little time for us to maybe brag a little bit or speak well about some guys that generally we just wouldn't. So Braves fans, try not to torch and pitchfork me, please.
I'll say the same thing. And, you know, I know there's Mets fans that maybe get a little bit too sidetracked by some Pocota rankings that we were talking about before the show. I don't want any Mets fans to believe that the Braves are any different than they were last year. This is still the team to beat in the division. And I want to talk to you about the offseason because they addressed their starting rotation. I really like the additions of Charlie Morton and Drew Smyly, to add to a guy that I know you love and I really love to watch pitch, which is Max Fried. So I look at the Braves right now and people are talking about this Mets rotation. I think they're on a pretty similar playing field here, but the Mets need some things to break right with some of the guys on the back end. And I like the depth that Atlanta has.
I'm glad that you said that. I too think the Braves are the team to beat in the division, but there is no question that when you're talking about this offseason, I mean, there were two teams that won the offseason. Padres, obviously, because they just decided to add everybody. And then the Mets, who went out and, they went out and got a new owner, which I still think is probably the biggest acquisition they could do. Just getting rid of the Wilpons is addition by subtraction. Then they bring in Francisco Lindor. The worst kept secret was he wanted to play in New York. Everybody assumed to be the Yankees, but he's in New York now. They went out and got Carlos Carrasco in that deal too, which is a very, very sneaky addition for that rotation. There's still some question marks there that we'll get to, but then they went out and they added, which I think is the biggest upgrade to their team aside from Lindor, and that is getting James McCann. Not a lot of people are talking about McCann now because they gave him a fairly hefty deal, but that's a big time move for a team that has really struggled with good catching in for the last forever, really. We were talking about a team that's built around what I do think is the best pitching staff in baseball by a fair margin. It's important to have a catcher that can actually help those pitchers, not actively hurt them. And James McCann is one of the elite framers in baseball. He still has some offensive game to him too, but just the fact that they were able to finally get an elite type of catcher to go with Syndergaard and DeGrom and Stroman and Carrasco, it's a big time deal.
Yeah, I think we should definitely spend some time on that because, I mean, people really need to understand just how bad Wilson Ramos was.
I mean, Jacob DeGrom was like, hey, let me get Tomas Nito, please.
I'm serious. I mean, the Mets lost, I think, at least two, if not three games last year because he was simply too slow to make a tag at home plate. I mean, that guy, good thing he's in the American League now because he shouldn't be catching anymore. I mean, he's washed offensively. And so I agree with you. That is a big upgrade. I also am interested. Did you just say the Mets had the best pitching staff in baseball?
I did.
Expand on that. I'd like to hear that.
So I say that for a couple reasons. One, I don't care how much Trevor Bauer gets paid. I don't care how good some other pitchers have been in the past. Jacob DeGrom is the best pitcher in baseball, and it is not a close margin. Jacob DeGrom is about as good. He is as far better as from number two. The difference between number one and number two is about the difference between like number two and number 10. Jacob DeGrom is just on another planet. And you're talking about Noah Syndergaard, who on 90% of the rest of the league's teams would be the number one pitcher. Stroman, I may have some issues with him as far as him. But as a pitcher and you're locking him in as the three or the four, there's no issues there with that. He's a guy who's been a number one and a number two and most other teams he's been on. You talked about Carrasco, who's been a really, really strong pitcher. And this Mets rotation, once everybody's healthy, he's a fourth or a fifth. The only other question is who's going to roll out there until Syndergaard gets back. I would guess David Peterson, who showed a lot of good things last year. As much fun as it is to dump on the Mets because they're the Mets and they always just seem to have the most random things happen to them every single year, they've got a ridiculous starting staff.
Yeah. No, they do. They do. I mean, it's something I actually did a podcast recently where I was looking at the Syracuse Mets rotation and stacking up to like the Orioles, because even now with the depth that they had, one thing that people don't realize, Sandy Alderson in that front office completely turned over that 40-man roster this offseason. So they added guys like Joe Lucchesi. They added guys like Jordan Yamamoto, even smaller moves like Mike Montgomery. They really did build out that depth. And then when you talk about the front four now with, you know, Taijuan Walker being the most recent addition, yeah, like this rotation not only is really good on the top end, but I believe they now have the depth that if an injury pops up, they're going to be able to kind of roll with it. Unless, of course, that injury, knock on wood, would happen to DeGrom. That's the only pitcher on this Mets staff that I think they can't afford to lose.
To be fair, I don't think any team can afford to lose a Jacob DeGrom.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, it's when you look at the Mets offseason, I mean, looking at the two teams, and we'll get to this a little bit more in segment two when we start really comparing the offenses, the teams are talent-wise, they're pretty similar across the board. When you look at position by position, rotation spot by rotation spot, you can kind of go back and forth. You can make a case for either team in a lot of these positions. I think the big glaring difference is obviously Lindor at shortstop. I'm sorry to my Dansby fans. Lindor's just better. I know a lot of Braves fans like to homer for Dansby because he's from Marietta and a Vandy boy, but Lindor better. But on the flip side of that, there's nobody on the Mets position players that are as good in the outfield, especially as Ronald Acuna. So I'm a huge Michael Conforto fan. I've actually been praying and trying to scheme up ways for the Braves to get Michael Conforto for years. But
I'm sorry.
Aside from Conforto, you will not. I will say one thing. And to Mets fans, I guess I'll apologize or I'll just say, hey, don't attack me. I hate Brandon Nimmo.
Wow.
With an intense passion. And it's not like Brandon Nimmo, I'm sure, is a great guy, but he is the biggest dork in baseball. And I, there is no better word to describe him than a massive dork. To anybody that has played baseball for any long stretch of time, and you see somebody sprinting down to first base on walks and hit by pitches, you look at him, you go, all right, that's a dork. That's the quintessential. When you get these boomer type fans who are like, oh, hustle all the time, there's no excuse to never fully run out a ground ball. That's Brandon Nimmo. And it's just, he's a good player. He's just a dork.
Yeah, I mean, that endears him to some fans, the running out walks and all that. But you're right. I mean, he's one of those guys that the old-timey broadcaster just falls in love with.
For sure. He's baseball's favorite type of player because baseball hates fun, I guess. But it should be some fun battles. Now, we do have three segments to get through, so we're going to have to take a first break here in a second. But I'm really excited to dig into this. Before we really break, I do want to talk about that pitching staff because you brought up Max Fried for the Braves, and I do think it starts and stops with Fried. You will not find a bigger Max Fried fan than myself. I have been on the Max Fried is the ace of the Braves bandwagon for a while. Everything he throws is just beautiful. He's got an innate knack for missing barrels, which he and Soroka both share. The difference is Max has true putaways with his breaking ball. And once he gets – I'm going to go ahead and call it now. Everybody's going to see a much improved changeup from him this year. I know Cole Hamels didn't work out for the Braves in that respect, but Cole spent a lot of time with Max as far as working on a changeup. And if Max gets a fourth pitch, that changeup into his arsenal consistently – the rest of the league can go ahead and be put on notice. Last year was the coming out party for Max Fried, having to carry the rotation on his back. You add in Charlie Morton, who is not done at all. I know there was a lot of people who were like, oh, well, you know, he was kind of throwing 92. He had a shoulder issue last year. And by the playoffs, he was back to 96, 97. His first spring training start a couple days ago, or yesterday, actually on Sunday, he was back to 96. Charlie Morton is going to be an absolute lights out addition to this team. Ian Anderson with another year under his belt, and Soroka coming back sooner than later. I'm a big fan of this Braves rotation. I think that if there's one team in the division that can challenge the Mets top to bottom with the rotation, I think it's the Braves.
Yeah, I think so as well. And I think the great separator, and we'll kind of transition into segment two talking about this. I think when you stack up these teams, where I see the Braves maybe having an edge is where we start to talk about bullpen and defense. I think that might be where we see that little bit of separation, because I think when you talk about the ceiling of the Mets rotation and of their lineup, I think that they might have an edge, but we'll talk about that in just a minute. One reason to repair and maintain your cars is to save money that you can then use for other important things like your mortgage or food. So why would you choose to spend 30%, 50%, maybe even 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or a new car dealership when you could just use rockauto.com, a family business that's been serving auto parts to customers online for 20 years. They have everything you could want, from engine control modules to brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and then choose the brands, specifications, and prices that you prefer. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Make sure you write "Locked On" in there, "How would you hear about us" box, so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Betting on the Mets does not have to be a guessing game anymore. Instead, you can listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. There you will get your daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Subscribe to the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get your podcasts. All right, so as I just said, I want to talk about defense and bullpen with Dylan here. What do you think the Braves do, or do you agree that that is maybe a place where they are better than the Mets?
Most definitely. I think the defense is the most glaring hole for the Mets, especially the Mets got hit harder by the no DH rule this year than probably any other team in baseball, because you're talking about a team that has to find ways to get into the lineup. Jeff McNeil, who's an awful defender, not as bad at second base as he's at third in the outfield, but definitely not a good defender at second by any means. He is better than Robinson Cano, so there is an upgrade there. It's just still not a great upgrade. JD Davis, who's a horrible, horrible defender. Dom Smith, who, poor guy, is going to have to play the outfield. Or Pete Alonso, who is also a really bad defender at first base. You got better behind the plate by adding James McCann, but you still got to kind of wonder what's going to happen in center field. I don't know that they can roll out Albert Almora Jr. for a full year because he can't hit. I don't really know what they're going to do defensively. You don't want to run Nimmo in center field because he's not really a great center fielder either. Neither is Conforto. I think defense is the big glaring question mark for the Mets. That's why I think by midseason, I wouldn't really be shocked if the Mets make a move that some might scratch their head at, but just adds a little bit of defense to the puzzle. Adding Lindor at shortstop is a big deal because Lindor might be the best defensive shortstop. If he's not the best, he's top three. So adding him in there, that's a big deal.
I would push back a bit on Jeff McNeil. He did not look good at third last year, but he's fared pretty well out in the corners when you look at some of those outs above average metrics and things like that. And just from watching him at second base, that's where he's most comfortable. So I'm not really worried about him at second, but everything else you said, I agree with. I mean, Brandon Nimmo is going to be the everyday center fielder for this team. And I really hope they spend a ton of money on analytics because he needs all the help he can get out there, especially when Dominic Smith is next to him. So those are my biggest concerns. I hope that the Mets play Luis Guillorme at third base or at second base this year, just to improve that defense. I think they have enough hitting. I would want as little of JD Davis out there as possible, but I think we're going to see a lot of it. So I think the Mets are going to try this strategy of scoring 9 runs a game. I'm serious. I think that's the strategy. They're going to.
It doesn't matter how many you give up as long as you score one more.
Exactly. I think that's what they're going for. I think they're going to keep JD Davis at third. They're going to have Pete Alonso at first, Dominic Smith in left, and Nimmo in center. and there's only so much ground that Lindor can cover at short.
Right. Might just ask him to play in the grass a little bit. But I mean, yeah, to be fair, in the regular season, that's a strategy that can work. When you get to the playoffs, maybe that's a little bit trickier. But for the Mets, it's more about, hey, let's get to the playoffs and worry about the playoffs when we get there. It's a team that needs some good publicity. And you talked about the bullpens there. I think that's another big difference. I think the Mets have a ton of talent in their bullpen. I'm not really sure what happens to these guys when they get to the Mets. But I mean, Edwin Diaz is still a phenomenal, phenomenal bullpen piece. And I do think that a lot of it is just the Mets curse kind of thing. Maybe with new ownership, it's going to be different. I'd look for a rebound from him just because it'd be hard for him to have a worse season than his debut as a Met. Jeurys Familia, I kind of go back and forth on. He's a guy that I wanted on the Braves for a little bit when he was back in Oakland. He's got good stuff. He's kind of had a little bit of a rough spring training to start with, but the Mets, again, they have some pieces back there. David Peterson, if you can decide if you want him in the bullpen once you get Syndergaard back. Tywin Walker is going to be in the rotation, obviously. So Peterson, Thomas Sapucki is a guy that I wouldn't be shocked if he ends up in the bullpen at some point. They've got some pieces to deal with back there, but the Braves have a lot more established bullpen pieces. And I think that this is where, and it's not even just against the Mets, I think the Braves have the best bullpen in the division. I think we can all agree the Phillies have the worst, because last year they had the worst bullpen in literally the history of baseball. And then they added Archie Bradley. So, I mean, that's one good piece, but that's about it for them. For the Braves, Will Smith is going to be a lot better than he was in 2020. Starting out the season with COVID and having to miss his spring training was not good for him. And you saw him get better late in the year after he kind of had that month-long warming up period, essentially. Chris Martin, he's a guy that throws a ton of strikes and throws hard. So that's always going to be a guy that can be relied upon. AJ Minter really exploded last year, not even just in the start in game five against, or the start in the NLCS against the Dodgers, where he went out there and dominated, but he showed all season long that he had fixed some things with his pitch sequencing that had really turned him around. Tyler Matzek was a huge revelation. Really the only question for the Braves is who's going to be the other righty in the bullpen. So you got Chris Martin, but aside from Chris Martin, your other high leverage guys are all lefties. So that's going to be the big ticket for the Braves, is what righty is going to step up and take that next spot. And it could be Carl Edwards Jr., who has pitched pretty well in spring training. He's had two outstanding outings. One that was a little bit shaky with like 22 pitches on Sunday, but aside from that, hasn't really given up too much hard contact. I think he's going to make the roster. I think that was a fantastic move. And then you're going to see some of the matriculation with some of the young starters. Wasker Anoa, Bryce Wilson, these are two guys, even Kyle Wright, that are going to have real opportunities to be in this bullpen. Tuki Toussaint as well. I think Tuki can be an absolute fireball in the bullpen. I think him as a starter is probably essentially done, but I've always thought Tuki was going to be the bullpen anyway. Luke Jackson as well. And where the Braves stand out aside, apart from everybody else, is all of their bullpen pieces are multi-inning guys. So if Snicker so chooses, and he has shown over the past few years to get smarter and smarter as the years go on, the versatility to be able to use most of these guys in interchangeable positions, it's going to be a big deal. So I don't know who's going to lead the league or lead the team in saves. If I had to hang a guess, it's probably going to be Will Smith. But I think the Braves are going to at least be, I think they're going to be an above average bullpen. I think they have an outside shot at being a top five, but I think they're most likely going to settle right in that top 10 range.
We will have one more segment with part one of this two-part crossover with Dylan Short of Locked On Braves coming at you in just a minute, where we will talk a little bit more about the Braves pitching and also compare Pete Alonso to Freddie Freeman, a couple of the best first basemen in baseball. But if you want to bet on either of those first basemen to win the MVP, maybe for Freddie Freeman to repeat or Pete Alonso to be a dark horse as a leader on the Met, make sure you go to BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Football is a thing of the past right now. We're waiting on the next season. But the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. And BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. They have real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you could imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with our promo code Locked On. Again, that's promo code Locked On for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. think a lot of those names that you mentioned are really interesting. One I kind of want to talk a little bit more about, just because I have a personal connection, is Tukey. I actually faced Tukey growing up in South Florida here. And in one of our travel games, there was a kid on my team who was actually playing up with us. And he stood so far away from home plate that the umpire had to draw a batter's box to get him closer. Before. I'm serious. I mean, the kid just, he did almost like something you would see in benchwarmers, where he just took three of the slowest swings possible to strike out and walk with his tail between his legs back to the dugout. So I've always been interested watching Tukey, and I'm really fascinated to see where his career goes from here, because it feels like he's just on the wrong team where it's harder for him to get as much run because the Braves have so much pitching.
I think for him, the biggest issue for Tukey is that he's kind of a backwards pitcher. His fastball is his worst pitch. Now, he can run it up 97, 98, 99, especially in short stints. He just doesn't have good command. He's got – the way he releases the ball kind of floats towards the right-hand batter's box anyway, and his fastball tends to follow it. So he doesn't really spot his fastball very well. But he's got an electric curve, and he's got a really good split change as well. I mean, it doesn't get as much play as his curve, because his curve makes people's knees buckle, and it's just a beautiful 12-6. But his split change is very, very good in its own right. For him, the question is always going to be if he can spot up his fastball. If he's spotting up his fastball, he's not going to get hit. If he's not spotting it up, then hitters are going to be able to sit on that off speed, and they're going to barrel him up, which is what we saw last year when the Orioles drove him out of the big leagues. I love Tukey. I think he's a fantastic dude. I do think, though, I think you're right. I think if he was in another organization, he'd be given more time as a starter. Here in Atlanta, though, I think he's going to be a reliever, where if he doesn't have the fastball command, you can have him get by for an inning anyway, just on the strength of his off-speed alone. So I'm excited to see what happens with Tukey. The Braves have a few of these guys in the minors who are ready to come up to the bigs, or at least knocking on the door of the bigs, that don't really have a spot in the rotation. Like Jacile De La Cruz, for those of you Mets fans who don't know who Jacile De La Cruz is, you will. But he's another guy who's like that, who's probably not going to be a starter here in Atlanta, but who has high leverage upside. And that's the thing about Tukey. I've always thought that if he's a starter, he's probably a 4 or 5. But if you just go ahead and just resign yourself to putting him in the bullpen, he's got a chance to be a legit closer, like Raisel Iglesias type good.
Kind of similar to what the Mets have been going through all these years with Seth Lugo, where, you know what, if they would just commit to him out of the bullpen, you can have one of the most dynamic relievers in the game.
And they kind of attack hitters the same way. Lugo's kind of the same. Now, his fastball is not as good as Tukey's, but it's another guy whose curveball is his bread and butter pitch. So he kind of has to pitch backwards a little bit, and his outings tend to rely. Now, Lugo's a little bit different. I think his struggles as a starter tend to be more in the, he's good for about 50 to 55 pitches, and then he kind of loses it a little bit. I think that's a little bit more similar to Oscar Anoa, who's one of my absolute favorite Braves prospects right now. But I think it's a similar utilization. I've been a little bit shocked and frankly kind of annoyed that the Mets haven't let Lugo just be a high leverage reliever, because he's so good at it. But I mean, that's one of those things that I'm expecting the Mets to change this year. I actually have pretty high expectations for the Mets.
All right, so you want to do a position by position here as we try to talk about how these two teams stack up?
I think that's the way we got to do it.
So let's start at first base. It's going to be kind of hard. As great as Pete Alonso could be if he goes back to his rookie year, to stack up with Freddie Freeman.
Yeah, well, I think this is an obvious choice. You go with the reigning MVP.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Freddie, the thing with Freddie that was such a difference from Freddie's always been good at making his other fielders better. Now, defensively, he doesn't get rated as highly. Last year, he was actually a pretty highly rated defender, but he's had struggles in the past with his lateral movement. He's not a rangy first baseman. Doesn't really need to be with Ozzie Albies at second base, but that's really the only knock you can have on him. Aside from that, a few years ago, it seems like it was just yesterday that Freddie was a first baseman who was more 20 to 25 type homers and not the 35 to 40. But once Freddie really kind of got into his own and the team kind of became his after the retirement of Chipper Jones, Freddie's come out and he's quietly erased every hole in his game. He's gotten a lot quicker. He used to be super slow and kind of pudgy. He's a super athletic guy now. He's not going to win any foot races, but he's certainly not the slowest first baseman in the league. He's a guy that can consistently get you some hustle doubles now that he couldn't have got you 3 years ago. And having Marcell Ozuna behind him, Freddie has such a good eye at the plate. So rarely does he chase, that having a guy like Ozuna behind him, now the pitchers have to actually pitch to him. That's what you've seen the past couple of years of Freddie, first with Josh Donaldson and then with Ozuna last year. Now he's able to really He doesn't have to be focused on going as deep into counts. He can if he wants to, but now he can just be ultra aggressive, or he can approach the at bat however he wants to. And having a guy like Acuña leading off, that's a boon for Freddie, because now he's basically always got somebody in scoring position. Freddie's always been good with barrel control and being able to drive in runs. Now you're seeing the power develop for him. I think Freddie's the best first baseman in baseball by a pretty wide margin. Maybe if you count Cody Bellinger as a first baseman, it's a little bit closer. But aside from that, I count Cody Bellinger as an outfielder. He spends more time in the outfield than he does at first, so I tend to think of Bellinger more as an outfielder. But even with Bellinger at first base, I think Freddie's right there with him. I think that Freddie – and I think Alonso has a chance to be really, really good as well. He tries very hard on defense. He's worked on getting better. He's just not quite there yet. The offense is going to have to carry him, though. So if he's back to – this is going to be a big year for him, because I don't think the Mets will have as long a leash on him this year, particularly after they see Dom Smith in left field for a while and knowing that Dom Smith can rake. So if Alonso's not raking, if you're going to have bad defense between Alonso and Dom Smith, if one of them is raking, I don't think the Mets are going to be in position to be like, we'll let him work through it as much. I think that Alonso, this is a big year for him.
Yeah. I just talked about Alonso on Monday's show for me, and it was, I think that kind of like you talk with Ozuna, having Alonso now in this lineup, I think that's going to help him. And I think really having Lindor is going to help Alonso more than maybe any other player on this team, because I think Lindor is going to suck a lot of the attention away from Pete, and he can just kind of stop putting so much pressure on himself. If you watched him last year, it felt like a guy with the weight of the world on his shoulders. I mean, he really felt like every single loss was just going on him, and he just could not get right. I think if he stops putting so much pressure on himself, he's going to have success. I mean, the power with Pete Alonso is just undeniable. If anybody makes a mistake, it's going 440 feet. I mean, there's just no doubting that. So although I would say Freeman head and shoulders better than Alonso overall, I do think the Mets still have probably the second best first baseman in this division. They might even have the second and third best if you count Dominic Smith, honestly.
I think that that's a pretty I would agree with that, actually. I don't like the Nationals' moves very much. I'm not a huge Jesus Aguilar fan or Garrett Cooper, to be fair. I don't think Rhys Hoskins is all that good either. I think Rhys is a guy that we keep waiting to be good, but he's kind of a weird enigma. He's not a super powerful guy. He's also not a good, he's okay at best. So I would agree that Alonso has a chance to be the second best in the division, or Dom, if Dom ends up taking over at first base. Either one of the Mets first basemen could be the best. There's no doubt, though, that the Mets would love for Alonso to go back to 2019 and be the face of the Mets. I mean, Lindor is going to be the face as long as he's there, but there's no saying if he's going to be there next year or not. And Alonso was on pace to kind of be that Mets player that kind of takes some of the spotlight away from the Yankees. So fully with you on that one. Second base is a lot more contentious.
That's going to be all for this edition of Locked On Mets. As I said, this is part one of a two-part conversation I had with Dylan. In the next part, you'll hear us go through position by position as we compare Jeff McNeil to Ozzie Albies, Travis d'Arnaud to James McCann. We talk about the Braves outfield against the Mets outfield. And then we get into where these two teams stack up with the rest of the teams in the National League East. And I don't want to give you too many spoilers, but I will say that we believe the Braves and the Mets stack up pretty favorably to the rest of the National League East. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcast. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at @FinkelsteinRyan. Follow the show at @LockedOnMets. Also, if you want to get more of the sports news you need in less time, check out our new Locked On Today podcast. Hosted by Peter Bukowski, Locked On Today is a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes by subscribing to Locked On Today wherever you get your podcasts.